and the Chargers are going to go for two to win it at 4 seconds remaining in this game. Chiefs 28, Chargers 27, and maybe today the biggest play in the NFL this season. Gates flex to the left side, Chargers going for two. Rivers has Jackson stationed on his left. Rivers takes the snap, retreating, fires it for the near side, wide open. It's good for two, Mike Williams, wide open. And the Chargers take the lead with 4 seconds to go in the game, 29-28.
And they have a good defense, and when you don't execute and you get penalties and stuff like that, that stalls out drives. And so we got some scores, but whenever we needed to move the ball at the end, we didn't execute. And so you have guys like that on both ends, as well as the guys they have in the middle. I mean, you have to learn to get the ball out faster. I have to do a better job with that. They played a good game. I mean, they found a way to win in the end, and we didn't. And so you have to find ways to win in this league.
Patrick Mahomes talking about the Chargers' comeback against the Chiefs last night. Chiefs lose, as you heard there from the Chiefs Radio Network, a game you could have heard on Z96.3 The Lake. Chiefs up 28-14 with 4 minutes to go, and the Chargers get it done 29-28, scoring 15 points. And people are like, oh, what a gutsy, crazy decision to go for two. Actually, it's the smart decision that most regular Chiefs fans, regular football fans, would have expected the Chargers to do. Pretty simple. You have a chance to win the game on the road on one play against that bad defense. It's not a hard decision. Or you let Mahomes go out there and in overtime, like what happened last week when the Ravens lost in overtime. No, you take your chances with one play. We're going to break this game down and simplify it to where there was a difference in philosophy last night between the Chargers and the Chiefs when it came down to one play. And we're going to tell you why the Chiefs lost the game because of that philosophy. That's coming up in a moment. But first, we're going to start with local sports. Stay with us, Chiefs fans or non-Chiefs fans. You want to hear our critique of the Chiefs. You're not going to want to miss it. Plus, we'll preview college basketball coming up this weekend as well. But first, we're going to look at local sports, and Dusty takes it away.
Yeah, a lot of local sports information to get to you here. Last night, Beloit had a wrestling duel with Abilene, as Abilene won that 43-27. Hunter Prohaska, Zane Colson, Brennan Walker, River Paul, and Creighton Johnson all won their dual matches. But again, Beloit falls overall in the point total, 43-27. There last night. High school wrestling coming up today. Smith Center starts a two-day tournament at Grand Island, Nebraska at 10 o'clock this morning. Lincoln and Osborne are at the Russell Round Robin this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So let's look at what's going on in wrestling here today. High school basketball, we got plenty of coverage for you tonight on Katy Country 94, Z96.3 Through the Lake, and katycountry94.com, as well as ncksports.com. On the Beloit Trojan Channel and on Katy Country 94 tonight, it's Ellsworth at Beloit. Girls pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 o'clock for that matchup, and then the boys game will follow. Wade over in Beloit tonight for that NCAA League showdown, so stay tuned for that on Katy Country 94. Again, it's online video stream of the Beloit Trojan Channel, ncksports.com. On Z96.3 Through the Lake tonight, St. John's Tipton is at Rock Hills. In high school basketball, we'll have girls pregame at 5:50, tip-off at 6 o'clock. That's also online at katycountry94.com for the Northern Plains League showdown between the Grizzlies and the Blue Jays tonight in Mankato. Also in basketball tonight, Chase is at Lakeside in the Northern Plains League. Osborne hosting Tescott, Lincoln at home against Wilson. Sylvan Lucas is at Pike Valley, and Thunder Ridge at Natoma tonight. Again, that's boys only for any games that Natoma plays this year because the girls don't have a team this season. And then Smith Center's at Norton in the Mid-Continent League tonight as well. Speaking of Smith Center, you can find the Mid-Continent League All-League football teams also at ncksports.com. It would take a while to go through all the Smith Center players that are on that team. We can tell you that Austin Hobelman, a unanimous first-team defensive end selection, also at offensive guard. And then Colby Benoit, running back and D-back. Charlie Timmons at tackle. Joel Montgomery, defensive tackle. Logan Zabel at linebacker and punter. And Heston Maxwell at linebacker are the first team picks for Smith Center. They got a load of players on that. Again, that Mid-Continent League team finally showing up yesterday. So that's at ncksports.com. So, again, we're looking forward to high school basketball coming up tonight here on Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake, katycountry94.com. So hopefully you can enjoy all the coverage coming up this evening on our stations.
Yeah, it will be interesting. Let's start with the game that we'll have on Z96.3 Lake, and that'll be St. John's Tipton against Rock Hills. And on the boys' side, Lance Bergman talking about containing, and I always have to stutter for just a moment, Gillette or Gillette?
Gillette.
Gillette. Dang it. You should go with Gillette. That's a razor. That's pretty cool.
Everything's going to go through how well Gillette plays. I mean, that's he's their leader. He's their best basketball player. He's their best athlete. He's a He can jump like crazy. He's, you know, he's a threat to dunk it, even if he's 5-10 feet from the basket with somebody on him. So we know we've got to be able to contain him as much as possible.
On the flip side, head coach Nick Meiser of Rock Hills worried about St. John's Tipton, a tough opponent.
To me, they're one of the top two teams in the league. You know, Osborne and St. John's Tipton, they're definitely, you know, the perennial powerhouses and have been in the league the last couple of years. And they're going to have the high-pressure, aggressive defense, and we've got to learn to cope with that and be aggressive defensively and offensively as well. And after last year, they're looking to get us back a little bit. We got them twice, and both of them could easily went the other way.
So that's St. John's Tipton, Rock Hills tonight on Z96.3 The Lake. On KD Country 94, KDCountry94.com, live video stream at NCKSSports.com of the Blake Trojan Channel. The Blake girls will try to bounce back after a disappointing loss to Southeast of Saline. Shauna Remus, head coach of the Lady Trojans, her team needs to pick up the intensity, which it lacked earlier this week.
They have to replace some of the seniors that they had from last year on some of their scoring. So I know they're probably trying to find their identity, just kind of like we are as well. You know, they're going to come in and they're going to play hard. And if we don't increase our intensity, it's going to be the same situation that we had the other night. So we got to come out and execute our offense and hopefully pick up the intensity on the defensive end and something good will happen.
Ellsworth girls 1-4. They've struggled. Beloit girls are 2-2. And then the boys game. Beloit boys are undefeated. Ellsworth is winless at 0-5. Beloit had won 33 consecutive games against Ellsworth in boys basketball. But then Ellsworth now has won the last two, including a steal and a layup for a buzzer beater to end Beloit's season last year at Substate down at Minneapolis. Beloit a heavy favorite in the boys' games. All that information, the broadcast schedule available at ncksports.com. Okay, so time to talk about the Chiefs and the Chargers last night. Listen, we can pick this thing apart, and we will, but before we pick this thing apart, to me it comes down to, to simplify everything for people that are listening to this show right now, it is very simple. If you really want to simplify things, one team, well, each team had one play to win the game. And the difference in philosophy is how you attack that one play to win the game. And the Chiefs lost that battle. Fourth down and 8 for the Chargers on their final drive. And the Chiefs do not blitz. Don't bring the house. Chargers have been moving the ball up and down the field the previous drive and then this drive to go down and tie it. Chiefs, I don't think, ever thought the Chargers would go for two, or I think they would have had more urgency. And Bob Sutton, the genius he is, on one play to win the game against an immobile quarterback, a guy that's going to sit in the pocket who's been hit many times by their front four, and you could support Bob Sutton and say, well, you know, the front four was getting the rivers, but not on that last drive or the last two drives, really. Why not go for the win, fourth down and 8? You get a stop there, game over, you take a knee, victory formation, you win. Fourth down and 8, why not bring the house and make Phillip Rivers throw the ball earlier than he wants to? Because we know it works. Because on the very first possession of the game, Eric Berry comes in on a blitz along with another, I think, linebacker, safety. And the Chiefs force Rivers into a bad decision, an underthrow, an interception that sets up the Chiefs for the first touchdown. After that, you never saw any kind of blitz like that the rest of the game by the Chiefs. So you have a chance to go after the win. One play wins it for you. Wins the AFC West. And what does Bob Sutton decide to do? Going to drop 7. I'm going to rush my front four. And we're going to stop them. Even though you hadn't stopped them on 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, 4th and 3, and the last two drives combined on those situations, 4th and 8, you're going to go ahead and rush 4 and drop 7. Here's what the Chiefs need to start doing. This is my opinion. The Chiefs need to start thinking outside the box like other teams are now thinking outside the box and now are ahead of the Chiefs when it comes to the curve. And here's what I mean by that. Instead of worrying, Bob Sutton, about we blitz and Rivers burns us for a touchdown, Bob Sutton should sit here and go, we're going to bring an all-out blitz. We're going to force Rivers to make a great read, a great throw. And if he doesn't, we win the game. If he does, we give up a touchdown. We still got a minute on the clock. We still have two timeouts, and we have the best quarterback in the National Football League to go get a field goal. This is where the National Football League and coaches need to start thinking outside the box a little bit more. I get it. If Bob Sutton blitzes, Rivers throws a touchdown, Chargers decide to go for two, which I don't know if they would have in that situation with a minute something left and the Chiefs having two timeouts. But say they did, the Chiefs still have time to go kick a field goal and win the ball game. And yeah, people may criticize Bob Sutton and say, well, why did you bring the house? But it worked earlier in the game. And here's the thing I don't get. When something works, why not try it again?
Yeah.
That's the frustration of Bob Sutton. So here's the difference in philosophies. Fourth down and eight, Chiefs have one play to win the game with their defense. And they sit back and they, you can say, played conservative and got burned by a tremendous pass by Phillip Rivers. And when Benjamin catches that ball, I'm like, let him score. Just let him score. That way the Chiefs have time to go down and win the game. Of course, they don't. We know what happens. Now, on the flip side, the Chargers have one play to win the game. They can end it on one play, just like the Chiefs could have ended it on fourth and eight with their defense and blitzed. Brought the house. Put the pressure on an immobile quarterback who is a statue in the pocket. No, the Chiefs chose to go the conservative route. The Chargers, meanwhile, think outside the box, and their philosophy is, we have one play to win it from the 2.5 on a two-point conversion. We're going for the win. We're going to take the win. We're going to risk it all. We're going for it. Which is absolutely, before, even if that play did not work, that was the right decision. Which would you rather do playing the Chiefs? Let Patrick Mahomes have the football in overtime? Or would you rather face the Chiefs defense that you've been running up and down the field against the last two drives in the fourth quarter? You have one play to get 2, 2.5, 3 yards on the road. One play. Would you take it? Heck yes, you should take it. The Chargers did. And tend to add insult to injury, the Chiefs botched the coverage and leave the guy wide open to where Dusty, me, my 5-year-old, could have caught the ball in the end zone for a touchdown. There was a blown coverage on the worst possible play of the year for the Chiefs defense. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I'm more bothered by the Chiefs offense on their last possession. And you know what? I'm tired of this. I've heard this before, and I'm sick of hearing it. I don't know why people have to. I don't know if they just want to be different, and they don't want to be in the majority here, but this is pretty simple. The offense gave them a 14-0 lead, a 21-7 lead, and a 28-14 lead, but it's the offense's fault they didn't come through on a drive that was back inside their 10 due to two penalties. It's the offense's fault that they lost that game. That's the bigger problem, is the offense. God forbid Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense is human and have a 3-and-out and the defense gives up another touchdown. You had 4th-down-and-3 on the previous drive of the Chargers, chance to basically end the game. And my son and I called it. I said, it's going to be a defensive hold. It's coming. You know it. Steven Nelson, defensive hold, 4th-and-3, automatic 1st-down, keeps the drive alive. Chargers go down, score a touchdown. Then the Chiefs 3-and-out. And then, of course, the Chargers score the touchdown, 2-point, and they win the ball game. I'm telling you, if you break this down and make it simple, one team had the kahunas to go all out on one play to win the game, and the Chiefs chose not to do that. Another team had a chance just a few minutes later to go all out, one play, to win the game, and that team had the stones to do it. Guess who I put that on? I put that on the coaching staff of the Kansas City Chiefs. I put that on Bob Sutton. I put that on Andy Reid. He's the one that's chose to keep Bob Sutton on staff. And I will admit, Bob Sutton can't play defense. Steven Nelson holds on 4th-and-3. Chiefs DBs hold all the time. Got away with a few last night, to be quite honest with you. During the offseason, the Chiefs made a couple of really costly decisions. And we have said all year long, this is the thing that's going to stop the Chiefs from making the Super Bowl or winning a playoff game or winning the Super Bowl. And it's going to ruin or tarnish or prevent Patrick Mahomes from having that magical year all the way to the end. We've said it all year. The one thing that can stop this team, besides injuries, is the Chiefs' defense and Bob Sutton. Bob Sutton, you think the lead last night he blew was that big a deal? He's done much worse. 38-10 in Indianapolis, blew a 28-point lead with his defense. 21-3, Chiefs offense, I know, didn't do anything second half last year. I get it. Chiefs still blew a 21-3 lead with their defense. Listen, this is what the Chiefs do. Unless the offense is near perfect, which it's been pretty doggone near perfect this year, and there have been moments the Chiefs' defense have made some plays. There have been moments. But against the best teams, and that's who you're going to see in the playoffs, the best teams, you're not going to see the Arizona Cardinals. You're not going to see the Cincinnati Bengals at home. You're not going to probably see the Denver Broncos. You're not going to be on the road against the Cleveland Browns. The Chiefs' best wins this year are not at Arrowhead. The Chiefs' best wins are at the Chargers week one, at the Steelers week two. And at New England, they had a chance to win, but New England had the ball last. And what did they do? Milk the clock and the Chiefs' defense on the field at the very end. And what happened? Patriots won the game. Yeah. Mahomes had no shot. The Rams game, the Chiefs can't get a stop after they take a lead, despite their team scoring 51 points. And that falls on the defense as well. And I know there was two defensive touchdowns for the Rams in that game. I get it. I keep hearing this. Well, the Chiefs, they only lost by three to the Rams on the road. They only lost by three to the Patriots on the road. And they lost by 1 point to the Chargers. Those are losses. I don't care if they're 25 or 3 or 1 point. I don't care if you had a 14-point lead or not. You lost the game. You don't get extra credit for playing close games against good teams. Correct me if I'm wrong, Dusty, but if the Chiefs lose by 1 point in the playoffs, is their season over?
Their season is over,
okay,
yes.
So why are we cutting this big-time slack for the Chiefs? Well, you know, they almost beat the Rams. They almost beat the Patriots. They almost beat the Chargers. Well, guess what? They almost beat the Steelers 2 years ago in the playoffs. They almost beat the Titans last year. They almost beat the Colts. They lost to the Colts 45-44. By golly, almost won that one. We lost to the Steelers by two. By golly, we almost won that one. The Titans, you lost by one. By golly, we almost won that one. Why the heck are you giving passes for losing close games during the regular season and then the close games in the playoffs? Let's be consistent with your argument. Here's the thing. You're going to play those type of teams in the playoffs, whether it's at Arrowhead or on the road. You're going to have to win those games in the playoffs. If you think you're going to walk into the playoffs and have home field advantage and just blow everybody out, what are you watching? The Chiefs have only blown out one team all year. One team all year. Because their defense isn't very good. Because their defensive coordinator doesn't make adjustments. And they've got the shortest starting cornerbacks in the entire football league. 5'9", 5'10", Scandrick. And maybe he's 5'11". Nelson, 5'10". The Chiefs made two gigantic mistakes in the offseason. And let me tell you something. They might get away with it, and the Chiefs might win the Super Bowl. But nobody at this show has ever said the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl. Nobody on this show has said the Chiefs are going to make the Super Bowl. And nobody on this show has actually said they're going to be automatically an AFC title game. They're going to win their first game at home in the playoffs. No one on this show has said that. Do they have the offense to make up for the defense and cover the warts? Yes, but when they play the best of the best, they don't. They don't. Well, you beat the Ravens. Great win. That was a game that took a 4th-and-9 rollout, throw across the field, 48-yard pass to win the game. They should have lost to the Ravens. They were outplayed most of the game. Two straight weeks, the Chiefs' offense has dealt with two good defenses, and the second half of both those games, the offensive line has not played very well. The offense has all the pressure in the world that they have to basically score every single time they have the ball because the Chiefs' defense can't stop the run, and now they can't stop a 38, 37-year-old quarterback who has a 14-point deficit with the crowd going nuts. The Chiefs made two gigantic mistakes that we've known about all this time, and we said it before the season began, and we hate to be right. The two mistakes. They kept Bob Sutton because he's Andy Reid's boy. Andy Reid is fiercely loyal to his assistant coaches. Sometimes you get the feeling he's more worried about getting his assistant coaches head coaching jobs than actually winning a Super Bowl. You have to wonder every once in a while. But Andy Reid's a nice guy, cares about his buddies. He takes care of them. There is no way Bob Sutton should still be the defensive coordinator. And we've been calling for this for 3 years. So during the offseason, the Chiefs make a critical decision. Is it the players and the personnel, or is it the coaching staff and the defensive coordinator? And Clark Hunt, to the public, said, well, we believe it's a personnel issue. We're making some changes on defense. They traded Marcus Peters away. They got Kendall Fuller in the trade for Alex Smith. That's kind of a wash. You got a corner for a corner, although Peters at the time was a better corner. That was the first mistake the Chiefs made, believing it's just simply personnel, and Bob Sutton is a great defensive coach. The Chiefs' defense, statistically, the last 5 years continues to go down to where now they're the worst defense in the league statistically. They can't go any further down. Congratulations, Bob. You've done something I don't know anybody else in the National Football League has ever done. You've gotten worse repeatedly year in and year out statistically. I've said it for so long. This defense doesn't have to be good. It just has to be decent. It's all it's got to be is ranked 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th in this league. That's all it's got to do. It's just got to be decent. And it can't even do that. So mistake number one, keeping Bob Sutton. Mistake number two is on Brett Veach and the entire Chiefs organization. And Dusty has been very adamant about this, as I have been. You traded Marcus Peters. You trade and get Kendall Fuller, so you're like, wow, okay, you got Peters and Fuller on the corners. Now Steven Nelson can be a dime or a nickel back. That's cool. He can be our third corner. We're all right. We suddenly got a pretty decent secondary. Eric Berry comes back healthy. We got Sorensen. Hey, we're in good shape. And then the Chiefs turn around and trade Marcus Peters, and we're like, whoa, what? And let me tell you something. Trading Marcus Peters, I'm not saying the Chiefs made a huge mistake by trading Marcus Peters. What I'm saying is they didn't replace him. You already got Fuller on board before you traded Peters. So you basically swapped out Peters for Fuller. And you go into training camp happy with Steven Nelson as your corner and David Amerson? David Amerson was so god-awful, the Chiefs cut him and nobody else has picked him up. So then the Chiefs do what? They pick up Orlando Scandrick. Two teams let him go. The Cowboys cut bait with Orlando Scandrick. The Redskins gave up on Orlando Scandrick. He was off the trash heap. And to be honest, Scandrick done okay. He should be a third or fourth corner, not a starting corner anymore at the age of 31. He ripped up his knee a few years ago, never been the same corner. But the Chiefs were so desperate, they signed him right before the season began. Then the excuses were, when the Chiefs were struggling, well, you know, we got new guys and new places, and it's just going to take a while, chemistry-wise, and we got some injuries. And yet, here we are last night, 14th game of the season. Orlando Scandrick and Kendall Fuller played together all 14 games, correct?
To my knowledge, correct.
And can't figure out who covers who on a two-point play. I can hear it now. Well, you know, Scandrick wasn't with us during all of training camp. Man, we'll get this figured out. It's my responsibility. We hear that from Andy all the time. The other mistake the Chiefs made in the offseason was they didn't address their shortage at corner in the draft. They didn't address anything in the draft in regards to their secondary. They did nothing for the secondary. It was a major hole, and the Chiefs stood pat. They were okay with David. Let me repeat this. They were okay with David Amerson and Steven Nelson being their starting outside corners with Fuller being their slot corner. That was the plan going into the season. And then Amerson was so horrendously bad, they suddenly moved Fuller to more of an outside corner. Sometimes a slot moved him around. But the original plan was not to have Fuller on the outside. The Chiefs, once again, made two gigantic mistakes on defense that right now look like it's going to cost them maybe home field advantage in the playoffs. And whether they have it or not, I don't even know if it matters with this football team, because the defense doesn't matter where they play. They make too many mistakes. We were told it was personnel, not coaching. Well, guess what? You got different personnel, and it's still you stink. How? What's the consistent theme there? What's the constant between the last few years and this year, Dusty?
It's the same thing we've been saying for years, Bob Sutton.
Bob Sutton's the constant. To keep doing the same things over and over with the same result is a sign of insanity. And that's what the Chiefs are doing. And then on top of it, they didn't address the problems they had at corner, which everybody, I told you, you know this. I can go back and rewind the tape. I heard people worried about the Chiefs' pass rush. That was their biggest concern. I had Seren Petro of 810 WHB on this program, who I highly respect. And he told me he was more worried about the pass rush than the secondary. And I told him, I am more worried about the secondary. That is my number one concern.
Without hesitation.
And you agreed with me.
No, it's not even close.
Last night, the Chiefs got a pass rush. You can't blame Dee Ford and Justin Houston. And Chris Jones played the game of his life, by the way, and it was wasted. You cannot blame the defensive front four for that loss. You've got to blame the secondary. And Eric Berry played great the first half. I was surprised how well he played. And the Chiefs, here's another thing you got to question. The Chiefs had Eric Berry on a snap count. They went ahead and blew all the snaps in the first half, and he didn't play the second half. Why didn't they space it out to where they would have had him on the field in the fourth quarter? You can't tell me that wouldn't have helped.
Yeah.
Two gigantic mistakes before the season began by the Chiefs organization. Now let's talk about the game itself. The offense was out of sync for a good portion of the night. They had Damian and Darrell Williams, who did a nice job, and I'll be honest, I don't think the Chiefs ran the ball enough. Andy Reid has a tendency to get away from the running game. Those two ran the ball pretty well. Andy Reid got away from it. You can argue Andy Reid was a little bit conservative on the last possession. Although, in fairness to Andy Reid, to be objective about this, you get a block in the back on a kick return. Now you're inside your own 15, deep in your own territory. You go a conservative run, which I'm okay with it, but offensive lineman blew an assignment. That's not Andy Reid's fault.
No.
So a loss of three. Now you're up against it. Second and 13. Now you go conservative, pass play to Tyreek Hill, hoping he's going to break one, who was not 100% healthy last night. So now he gains five. It's third and eight. Well, third and eight, it's not great, but it's manageable, right? Yes. And then Demetrius Harris, lined up in the slot as a tight end, for some reason, moves. False start, third and 13. And now you can't expect Patrick Mahomes to play the role of God and do everything right, okay? He can't bail him out every single play. He is human. He's not a robot. Third and 13, the offensive line lets him down. He has no time to throw, but he needs more time to throw at 13 yards, and he gets sacked, and the Chiefs have to punt. It was a bad possession. You can blame the offense for losing the game because of that possession, but that's unfair because they did more than the defense did last night, in my opinion. Although I know the defense got two turnovers, one really bad decision by Phillip Rivers, which he does every game. But when you look at the Chiefs and offensively, that last drive, we talked about it. The Chiefs have been able to overcome penalty after penalty and be in third and long, fourth and nine against the Ravens. They had a fourth and four against the Ravens, and DeMarcus Robinson lined up as a wide receiver, false started. And it was a fourth and nine. And if it wasn't for the unbelievable and amazing talents of Patrick Mahomes, that penalty would have cost them that game. Fast forward last night. You make the same exact type of penalty in a big game at home, and this time Mahomes can't pull a rabbit out of the hat. Those are mistakes you cannot make as an NFL football team to win a championship. You can't pick up 15 yards on first down with Damian Williams and have an illegal shift where two guys are in motion because they can't focus on details. The little things get you beat in this league. It's the difference between winning and losing. And the Chiefs are still 11-3, and they still control their destiny to be the number one seed and get home field in the playoffs. They got to go to Seattle. That's going to be extremely tough. And I've said for a long time they're going to lose that game, and I think even more so now, because I think this was a devastating loss for the Chiefs. You saw Justin Houston walk off that field. You saw what he said. He said the F word. He knew what the Chiefs let go of a great opportunity. That sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Chiefs at Arrowhead, great opportunity against Steelers. Walk off the field dejected. God, we were so close. We blew that one. We had a great opportunity. Tennessee, we blew that one. Walk off the field dejected. It's a common theme. Big-time games, or at least in the playoffs. Usually in the regular season, Chiefs find a way to win a home game in the regular season. They win those games, and they lose six straight at home in the playoffs.
Or they win against the big ones and then lose to Tennessee and Tampa Bay, you know, like teams that aren't good.
But they don't beat any big ones in the playoffs because they don't win a home playoff game since January of 1994. So that didn't even apply. Talking playoffs here. Lost six in a row in the playoffs at home. And so you look at the Chiefs and you have to sit here and ask this question. Are we all fools? Are we all fools from this standpoint? I wasn't a fool last year, but perhaps I got sucked into the fooldom, if that's such a word. Last year, I was saying over and over, home field advantage doesn't matter. Everybody's all caught up in home field advantage. The Chiefs will do what they always do. They're going to be at home in the first round of the playoffs, and they'll find a way to lose. All the pressure will be on them, and the Chiefs' offense won't be as good as it. Remember, the offense of the Chiefs with Alex Smith was tremendous early last year. Teams started to figure him out, adjusted, and then the Chiefs, of course, blew a 21-3 lead last year, okay, at home. But I said it then. Home field advantage isn't what it's all cracked up to be. Chiefs went to Houston, won a playoff game. That's the only playoff game they've won since 1994, for crying out loud. The Chiefs, I've told you already, they've had better performances on the road this year than at home in regards to beating good teams. So now I have to ask, I've been caught up in this, you know, the Chiefs defense plays better at home than on the road, which really that is true. They do play better at home than on the road. But that's against not the greatest competition week in and week out. Whereas when they have played against Baltimore, the Baltimore runs for 200 yards and averages 7 yards a carry. They play the LA Chargers last night with their third and fourth string running backs, and the Chargers run for what, almost 150 yards? Here's the thing. There was no Melvin Gordon. There was no backup running back. The best weapon for the Chargers that was healthy going the game, Keenan Allen, got hurt in the first quarter. The Chargers didn't have their weapons. They have a 38-year-old out of shape, big, wide tight end who's a Hall of Famer that doesn't even run fast anymore. And they still beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, down 14 and minus 2 in the turnover category. Were we all fools? We're all fools. Because we sit here and we say, home field advantage is so important. Why do we fall in this trap every single year? I went to bed last night frustrated. But then I told my wife, I said, you know what? I'm done worrying about this. The Chiefs are in the playoffs. All right? They've clinched the playoff
game. Yeah.
So they're in the tournament. And so honestly, I'm to the point, I don't give a flip what they do against Seattle. I don't give a flip if they lose to the Raiders. I don't even care if the Chiefs are at home or on the road anymore. Because I see what happens when they're at home. They pee down their leg. So I don't care anymore about the number one seed and home field advantage because it doesn't mean anything anymore. It hasn't since 1994. I can go through every single documented time the Chiefs have lost at home to inferior competition. Why is this year different? I am a fool because I got sucked in. It's different because we have Patrick Mahomes. And maybe that's still correct to say that. But the Chiefs are not going to face the Arizona Cardinals in Arrowhead as the number one seed or the number two seed. They won't. They're going to face either the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Houston Texans, the LA Chargers, who they just lost to without their three top offensive weapons, or the Indianapolis Colts, or God forbid, the Broncos sneak in. Because all the pressure in the world will be on the Chiefs more so than any other team in the National Football League because everybody knows they haven't won a home playoff game since January of 1994. Everybody knows the Chiefs have lost six straight games at home in the playoffs. It doesn't have anything to do with the Chiefs being the number one seed and being the favorite to go to the Super Bowl AFC. Yeah, there's pressure there. The more pressure the Chiefs have is from their fans and Chiefs Kingdom. And the Chiefs fans walked out of that game, and I walked away from my TV last night. That felt like a playoff loss. It really did. It felt exactly what happens. The crowd gets all jacked up. We're all excited. This year's going to be different. Last year, it was going to be different. After the Chiefs blew it against the Titans, lots of fans were interviewed after the game. Same old story every year. I don't know why I get sucked back in. Well, then, the offseason, what did we say the Chiefs had to do to suck the fans back in? They either had to do one of two things or both. Fire their defensive coordinator or get rid of Alex Smith and let Mahomes have the keys to the car. They had to do one of the two. And I remember saying, all they got to do is the Mahomes thing, and the fans will be sucked in.
Oh, yeah.
And that's exactly what they did. We're stuck with Sutton, but we got Mahomes. Everything's good. Mahomes can cover up Bob Sutton's deficiencies. He's going to cover up the defensive deficiencies. And quite honestly, through 13 games, Mahomes has done exactly that. And that's why he should be the MVP of this league. But you can't expect Mahomes to be perfect every night. You can't expect the offense to be perfect every night. You need some help. And the defense last night was given a 14-point lead not once, not twice, three times. And every single time the Chiefs are up two scores, their defense went on the field. And if they get one stop and give the ball back to their high-octane offense, all the Chiefs have to do is get one stop to where the Chiefs get a three-score lead, 17-0, 21-0, 24-7, 28-7, 31-14. That's all the Chiefs had to do to put the nail in the coffin. That's all the Chiefs defense had to do. Get one stop any time they were up 14. The Chiefs offense bailed them out once and twice and got them 14-point leads right back. And this has been a common theme throughout the season. That's why the Chiefs don't blow anybody out. The Chiefs go soft defensively. I mean, there was a pass to a running back last night where the guy caught it, and there wasn't a DB within 10 yards, and he picked up 11 on an easy wide throw to the sideline and picked up 11. That looks like a prevent defense to me. What happened to Bob Sutton when he first got hired as defensive coordinator? I remember, well, he's aggressive. He likes to blitz. He's really aggressive. Where did that go? It blows your mind as a Chiefs fan. And you can freak out like I sound like I'm freaking out. I will tell you this. They win their next two games. They're still the number one seed. And they will have home field in the AFC. And I'm going to tell you right then and there, don't fall for it. Just because they win the next two games and finish 13-3 and have a home first round bye and get a divisional playoff game at home, don't think everything's okay. I can think of at least two other times the Chiefs have been 13-3, number one seed, and lost at home. 13-3 is just not a really good record for the Chiefs for their playoff history. And I'll tell you this, maybe the Chiefs are better off losing the last two games or losing one of these, and it'll be in the five seed. Maybe it's a better thing. I don't know. All I know is they can't win at home in the playoffs. And until they do, who the heck's going to pick them to do it? I know Dusty's not. I know I'm not. And even though you have number 15. And now to make things worse, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be Debbie Downer, Kendall Fuller broke his wrist last night. The Chiefs' best corner in a crappy secondary is now crappier. Sorry to be blunt. Kendall Fuller is going to have surgery today, it sounds like, and more than likely his season is done. So your best corner, once again, if you would have, you know, drafted a few corners, that could have been helpful. Once again, that decision comes back to roost. So now Bob Sutton has one less corner to cover downfield. Now he's going to be even more conservative because he's not going to blitz because he's going to be worried about getting beat deep against other corners that aren't Kendall Fuller. This is a bad, it's a worst, that's worst thing out of this whole thing. Kendall Fuller got hurt. That made it even worse. We're wasting great performances by Chris Jones last night, who was unblockable. The 4th and 3, you got a defensive hold, 28-14, keeps the drive alive. It's 4th down and 8. You don't do an all-out blitz. You just sit back in 7-man coverage. You rush 4. Chargers have a chance to win it. They go for it. Chiefs don't. Each team had one play to win the game. Chiefs chose not to be aggressive. Chargers did. Team that was aggressive won the game. Good, and kudos to the Chargers. The Chargers were the better team last night. How can I say that? They were -2 in the turnover category. Got sacked multiple times. Still won the game. Better team. Had the better numbers. Time of possession, total yards, everything. Better team. If it wasn't for Phillip Rivers' one boneheaded pass, which cost him at least 3 points before halftime, it might not have come down to the very end. And by the way, Andy Reid is not to be excused in this game either. Chargers burn their last time out after arguing a helmet-to-helmet hit on Phillip Rivers, which, by the way, was a missed call. So don't start, Chiefs fans, with the officiating as the reason we lost the game. There were multiple calls against the Chargers' defensive holding that were questionable. There were calls against Daniel Sorensen, which I thought was a BS call, on a hold, kept the drive alive. That was a bad call. Pass interference on Fuller back of the end zone, I didn't agree with that either. But also, Scandrick got away with a push-off going down the sideline on that same drive. He got away with that one. They didn't call it. Then Williams, who caught the game-winning, or excuse me, the touchdown that cut it to one, he pushed off. They didn't call that. They missed a helmet-to-helmet hit by Daniel against Rivers. They missed calls. Both teams had calls go against them. The Chiefs got away with intentional grounding after Patrick Mahomes had his face mask pulled, which gave the Chiefs a first down. Should have been offsetting penalties. The Chiefs got away with intentional grounding there. So let's not sit here, Chiefs fans, and blame the officials. You want to blame anybody, okay, blame the offense for doing three and out the last possession. Fine, do it. You want to blame Demetrius Harris? Fine, blame him. You want to blame the defense? Fine, blame them. You want to blame Andy Reid? You want to blame Bob Sutton? That's fine. Do not blame the officials. That's not the reason the Chiefs lost this game. You're up 14 three different occasions, and you can't hold the lead. That's not on the officials. That's on you. But how in the world the Chiefs butcher the management of the clock, whether they're on offense or defense, is beyond my comprehension. And that's why I've never thought Andy Reid, and I've said it many times, and you know this, Andy Reid will never win a Super Bowl. Andy Reid will never win a Super Bowl in Kansas City because of this. He isn't changing his stripes overnight. He is what he is. His team has to be probably 10 points better to win the Super Bowl. You don't want the game coming down to the final minute or two with Andy Reid managing your clock. Last night, I don't know if Bob Sutton ran up to Andy and said, we need a timeout. I don't know who called the timeout, but the announcers completely missed it. The Chargers have the ball with 8 seconds left. The play clock is at 5. Rivers is frantically like, what are we doing? They weren't even going to get a playoff.
Nope.
And if they did, it probably would have been a disaster. And all of a sudden you hear the whistle, and I go, oh, my God, the Chiefs called timeout. What are you doing? I screamed at the television. And the announcers didn't even bother to mention that. And so
I'm not even a Chiefs fan, and I yelled at the TV. Yes. And like, what are they doing?
So they call a timeout, which allows the Chargers to regroup, to call a play, and then they score a touchdown on the very next play. And then they go for two, which the Chiefs seemed not to be prepared for, which is amazing. Once again, that's management, knowing the situation. And the Chiefs got outcoached at the very end of the ball game. Phillip Rivers said after the game, that was a quirky and weird timeout. He was shocked the Chiefs called it. So here's the thing. You got Phillip Rivers. He's always good for one boneheaded pass a game. And he had one. Actually had two. But Murray couldn't pick it off.
Mm.
That was a missed opportunity, of course. The Fuller pick in the back of the end zone before halftime, that was a boneheaded decision by Rivers. The Chiefs are always pretty much good for one boneheaded what the heck, what in the world timeout they call, or they don't call a timeout when they should. They're good for it every game. It's been happening almost every game this year. It's just that we don't talk about it because the Chiefs have been winning.
They cover it up.
They cover it up. Mm-hmm. And once again, that's the Patrick Mahomes factor. He can cover up poor clock management by Andy Reid. He can cover up the penalties by a tight end moving false start or Marcus Robinson, or he can overcome a holding penalty from his offense. Usually he comes through. He can overcome a horrible defense and a horrendous secondary. He can overcome a bad rush defense. But at some point, Mahomes is human, and he can't do everything, and he can't overcome an offensive line that can't give him a few seconds to throw on 3rd and 13 deep in his own territory. This game is not on Patrick Mahomes. No interceptions, 2 touchdowns, 243 yards. He couldn't get back on the field. The second half, the Chiefs went down and scored. Then the Chargers had a long drive, scored a touchdown. Everybody saw that coming. Then the Chiefs got the ball, had a long drive, scored a touchdown, and that was about it. They didn't have the ball hardly at all.
No.
And here's another thing, and this is thinking outside the box. I mentioned thinking outside the box on a 4th and 8. Bring the house and Chargers score a touchdown. Who cares? You go down. You have time to get the ball with Mahomes and go down and win the game. The Chiefs' best chance to win that game last night was to let them score. It sounds weird, but it's true. That's how bad this defense is. You got to let them score. But the other way to think outside the box is the Chiefs could have shortened this game by at least a minute and a half, which I don't know if it would have mattered in the end, when they had the ball and they scored the last time. I was thinking it, and I was saying it out loud. They had a 3rd down in inches inside the 1. And I'm like, get the 1st down, but not the touchdown. That'll milk another 30 to 40 seconds off the clock, which is exactly what happened. So now you got about 8.5 minutes to go, and I'm sitting here going, it's 1st and inches at the goal line. I'm like, just have Mahomes act like he's trying to get in on a sneak, but just don't get a touchdown. Do it at least one play. That takes another 35, 40 seconds off. Now I get it. Come on, Wade. You got a chance to go up 2 scores. You take the touchdown where you can get it. And I agree. I'm not saying they did the wrong thing. But the NFL, when your defense is so bad, you got to think of ways creatively to help your defense. That would have been a way, shortening the game with your own offense, which is exactly what the Ravens did last week. It's exactly what the Seahawks are going to do next week. is they're going to run the ball. They're going to keep the Chiefs offense on the sideline. And if they get a couple stops against the Chiefs offense, they're going to win the game. And we've been preaching this week in and week out for 14 weeks. That's the team that's going to beat the Chiefs. And I thought it'd be the Ravens. I thought it's going to be the Seahawks, which it still may be. But I didn't think the Chargers would be able to do it with their third and fourth string running backs and running play action and converting third long, fourth and long, or whatever it may be. And, oh, by the way, here's another little thing about clock management. And you may think it's not that big a deal. But ask yourself, how much time was on the clock when the Chargers scored their last touchdown?
4 seconds.
4 seconds. Ask yourself this. The Chiefs, when they had the ball and they're inside the 10, there was 9:32 on the clock. There were still 12 seconds on the play clock. The Chiefs didn't have the personnel they wanted. They called a timeout. They're up 21-14. They called a timeout to figure out what they want to run. I have no problem with the timeout. Why didn't you let it run down the 1 second?
Yeah.
Milk another 11 seconds off the clock. That could have been the difference between the Chargers having an extra play or two at the end. And this is not hindsight 2020. I was saying it when it was happening. If you know you don't have the right play and you're close to scoring a touchdown or a field goal to go up two scores with 9.5 minutes to play, why not milk the extra 10, 11 seconds off the play clock? You know you're calling a timeout anyway. Are you that worried about your defense you're going to somehow fall behind and you're going to need the extra 11 seconds? Well, if so, then we're doomed. These little things cost you games. And it's I've told you my worst fear, and you've predicted it, Dusty. The worst fear is the Chiefs get in the playoffs, bad clock management. Mahomes doesn't have a great game. There might be a key injury, or the team runs the ball down the Chiefs' throat. They shorten the game, and the offense has to be perfect. And if they have one bad possession, which they did last night, when they were up 7 with 4 minutes to go, that's the difference in the game. And then people today, some, not a lot, but some, well, you know, I think the offense doesn't get a pass here. The offense didn't turn the ball over. They scored 28 points. We didn't have the ball a lot. How's it the offense's fault? It's besides me. They are not perfect.
No, I can't get. I was obviously I was upset last night after
who
the game.
Wouldn't
There's no question. If you're a Chiefs fan, you're upset. But you wait an hour and understand that nothing's changed with this team. And
except that Mahomes might be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat that you couldn't do in the past. That's the only thing that's changed.
That's changed. But
that's what gives
when you really
so much
dig
hope.
Past the surface of everything, even with Mahomes, nothing's changed. Because they're not winning these games that you talked about. They've beat two playoff teams this year, and that was in week one and week two.
And the Ravens maybe at home, which they should have lost.
Yeah, and struggled in that one. So the Ravens probably too. So they've beaten three playoff teams.
Right.
And one that's not probably, I don't think, is a Super Bowl contender by any stretch of the imagination. So I just, they don't win these kind of games, and they're not right now. They're losing, and that's what drives me nuts. When people say, like you were talking about earlier, oh, they lost by 1 point here, they lost by 3 points in these two games, and it's like, I don't care what the deficit was. They're going to play those kind of teams in the playoffs. You're going to meet those teams again. If you want to get to where you want to get, you're going to play the Patriots again more than likely. So you got to figure out a way to win that game, not lose it by three. I don't care at what point that is. That's for me. It's nothing's changed, and I need to see it. I've been having fun. Listen, it's been fun to watch Patrick Mahomes and see what he's been able to do. I mean, the guy's got 45 touchdown passes this year. How can that not be fun to see his talent and what he can do? But it's not going to matter in the postseason unless Andy Reid and Bob Sutton, well, unless Bob Sutton magically changes what he's doing, which is not going to happen, and unless Andy Reid can be smarter with his play calling or with his time management is what I mean, and doing those things. Listen, I said that last year when everybody was gung-ho about trading Alex Smith. Well, my first comment was, if Andy Reid is Patrick Mahomes' coach in the playoffs, I don't care. It's not going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Listen. What the one common denominator, we mentioned about Bob Sutton, but the constant in the three Chiefs losses this year is very simple. The Chiefs defense is on the field. All they need is to get a stop at the end of the game against the Patriots, against the Rams, and against the Chargers. The offense gave them leads in every one of those games, and every single time the Chiefs defense lost it. So don't put it on the offense. I cannot. I think that's just somebody being different. Somebody just wants to be different with their opinion, so they say offense.
You score 91 points combined against the Patriots and Rams, you should win both of those games.
Absolutely.
Okay? That's nothing to do with the offense at all. And I don't care if Patrick Mahomes had 17 turnovers in the game against the Rams. He had, what did he have, five because he had three picks and a couple fumbles.
Yeah, right.
And so I don't care if he gave up 21 points on turnovers. When his team scores 51, that's a 30-point difference, okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to hold a 30-point difference here if you're the Chiefs' defense.
Yes, I agree.
91 points. You can't lose. I don't care if you feel, oh, I feel good because we only lost those games by three. The other teams scored like 97 points combined in those games, okay? I don't care if they only lost by three. Your defense was terrible. You can see this coming. It's not that hard.
I know. It's like everybody's like, well, we scored 40 and we almost beat the Patriots. And, hey, we scored 51 and we almost beat the Rams. Yeah, but you gave up 54 and you gave up 43. That isn't a cause for concern? I mean, if the Chiefs had the Chargers defense, they would probably win the Super Bowl, or at least make it. The Chiefs had the Ravens defense. Like I said, the Cowboys defense. If the Chiefs had, I'll be honest with you, the Bronco defense is good. It's not great. Give the Chiefs the Bronco defense. They don't lose these games, man. They don't lose these games. And the Chiefs in the draft better find a taller athletic corner like they used to have in Sean Smith. That's the type of corner they got to find. Because these tall receivers, rookies are beating them to a pulp because all they got to do, back shoulder throw it up like we saw that got them the touchdown that cut at the 7. The Chiefs have to address the secondary. And we, as Joe Schmoes out here in North Central Kansas, knew the Chiefs had problems in the secondary, and yet the Chiefs didn't address it in the draft or be a free agency. They got Fuller, and then they let go of Peters right after that. Listen, like I said, I don't care where the Chiefs play their playoff games now. I really don't. There's nothing to give me any hope that the Chiefs are going to win a home playoff game any more than they're going to win a road playoff game. Because Patrick Mahomes has proven he can go on the road and win at Pittsburgh. He's proven he can go on the road and win at L.A., and L.A. doesn't have a home field advantage out there. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's like, well, the Chargers and Chiefs, they may play again in the playoffs, and it'll be at Arrowhead. You know what? Actually, it very well could be Chiefs as a 5 seed if they win their first game on the road will be at the number 1 seeded Chargers in L.A., and I'm going to tell you something. I give them just as good a chance to beat the Chargers in L.A. as they do against Arrowhead in Arrowhead.
Yeah.
I really do, because half that crowd will be Chiefs fans anyway in L.A. That's no home field advantage. So whether or not the Chiefs and Chargers play again, I don't care where that game is either. I'm done with this whole, we got to get the home field advantage. We got to be the number 1 seed. It's never helped us before. And last night we had home field advantage up 14 against a team without 2 running backs and their top receiver. Did it help us win the game last night? Don't you still have to play on the field? The crowd cannot play the game for you. They're in the playoffs. So I'm going to just sit here and go, you know what? They lost last night. Who cares? Ooh, they're not going to win AFC West because they lose to Seattle and San Diego or L.A. Chargers went out. Who cares? They're in the tournament. They're going to be judged whether they're a 1 seed, a 6 seed, a 5 seed, a 2 seed, whether a home or on the road. Andy Reid and the Chiefs are going to be judged on whether or not they win in the playoffs regardless of where the game is. So who cares where it's at?
Yeah.
Who cares if we got to play a first-round game and not get a bye? We had a bye last year. How'd that treat us? And this defense, now you get Eric Berry back, and then you lose Kendall Fuller. And I'm going to tell you, the Chiefs, the offense wasn't as good last night. You're also missing 2 big-time weapons that you used to have, which makes you easier to defend, a little bit easier. No Sammy Watkins. That is being underplayed. He opens up the field in different ways. Even though he wasn't a top target of Patrick Mahomes, Watkins is better than Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? So that hurts this team, and we're seeing it. Tyreek Hill was 100%. That hurt the team last night. The other thing, of course, that hurts the team is, and I know Damian Williams played well last night, but not having Kareem Hunt to try to close games is going to come back and haunt this team.
Yeah.
And we saw it against the Ravens last week. So the Chiefs are missing 2 weapons and 1 that's not even full strength. And in fairness, you want to look at it half full. Well, we still had a 14-point lead, and we should have won the game. Okay, you can be Mr. Optimistic all you want. Hey, we scored 51. We almost beat the Rams. But you didn't. You didn't. You have a 14-point lead at home in the fourth quarter with 4 minutes to go. You win that game if you are a Super Bowl contender instead of a pretender. So until the Chiefs do it, I'm not going to believe it. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope we're all wrong. And I hope the Chiefs make fools of all of us and that the worst defense in the National Football League statistically go out and win a Super Bowl. Has there ever been a team with the worst-ranked defense in the NFL win a Super Bowl? Let me give you 2 seconds to think about it. The answer is no. But somehow, Patrick Mahomes, who is a tremendously talented and an unbelievable quarterback and probably MVP of this league, that's still too much to ask of one person. To lead the worst-ranked defense in the National Football League to a Super Bowl, it might be asking him too much to win one or two playoff games, let alone make the Super Bowl. Agree?
Yes.
Feel better. All right. Actually, I don't. But.
The Giants won a Super Bowl in 2011 with the 25th-ranked defense, and that's the lowest-ranked defense ever by quite a bit.
And that's what I've been preaching. The Chiefs.
I really thought it would be the Colts that year. Yeah. They beat the Chiefs.
They were 23rd that year. That was the next closest one. Nobody else even lower than 17.
The Chiefs, that's what I'm saying. The Chiefs' defense only, and I've been saying 18th, 19th, 20th. 25th might be good enough, like you just said. That's all it's got to do. Bob Sutton doesn't even have to be good as a defensive coordinator. He just has to be average or slightly below average. And they can't even do that. But remember, it wasn't the coach. It was the personnel. Well, no, we brought in personnel. Still having the same problems statistically. We're worse than last year. But you know, we're going to bring Bob back next year. All we got to do is get a couple tall corners, and we're going to solve all problems. And Eric Berry's going to play a whole year. Yeah, believe that when I see it, too. All right.
Thanks, Vinny.
God, man. Unbelievable. Anyway, the good news is the season isn't over. Good news is they win out. They still get home field and number one seed and a bye, which whether or not you care about that anymore, I don't. They're in. Let them play wherever they play. They're going to be judged on whether they win or lose, regardless of where the game is played. Is it going to be more disappointing if they lose at home and choke? Yes, it will be. I'm going to tell you something. The Chiefs lost that game last night 28-21, and it didn't come down the way it did. I wouldn't have lost any sleep over it. It's the way the Chiefs find ways to lose and heartbreak. They just, it's like they enjoy breaking the fans' hearts. I know they don't, but my Lord. All right, KU basketball team jacked up. They're going to face defending champion Villanova. That is coming up tomorrow. Villanova's last 3 games already this year. Lost to Penn the other night, a team that K-State beat by 16 at the Virgin Islands. Although Penn is a good team. Bill Self on Villanova and how they look different. Remember, Villanova smoked KU in the Final Four last year.
There are some similarities in that they lost so much, but they still return 2 very, very key starters. And you could say the same about us. We lost so much. And you know, we returned Legero, I guess, and Doka, but you know, we don't have Doka. So there's some similarities there. I was reading some staff that they returned 92 minutes of the game that was played last year, and we returned like 50. So, you know, we lost a lot, but they obviously lost a lot, too. It's 2 different teams, and they're going to be terrific before it's all said and done, and hopefully we'll continue to get better and work our way towards that as well. But it should be a fun atmosphere.
KU and Villanova tomorrow, 11 o'clock, pregame at 10:30, number one KU against Villanova. That's a scary game. I don't think KU matches that well with Villanova, although maybe better because Doak isn't available to play due to the ankle injury. Z96.3 Lake tomorrow, 10:30 pregame tip-off at 11 at Allen Fieldhouse. K-State looks to bounce back at home. K-State's lost 2 straight games, both on the road. They're back at home where they haven't looked that impressive either. K-State ranked 25th, barely in the polls, against Georgia State, who's 7-3. And before you sit here and go, well, K-State's going to get fat and happy and healthy again, Georgia State won at Alabama, and they beat Georgia by 24. This is not an easy opponent. 7 o'clock tip-off. This team's better than Kennesaw State, by the way. 7 o'clock tip-off on ESPN3 tomorrow night, K-State, Georgia State. K-State has to win that game. Simple as that. Wichita State 5-4 against Southern Miss 7-2, 4:30 tomorrow, Saturday, on CBS Sports Network. Shocker, Ron Baker has been released. He signed a 2-year, $8.9 million contract after his first season. Phil Jackson loved him. Jeff Hornacek loved him. Now they're not there anymore, and now apparently the love for Baker by the team, not quite as much. Baker was cut yesterday, but here's the great news for Ron Baker. He doesn't have to play for the rest of the season, one single dribble, and he can cash in $4.5 million. Guaranteed money for Ron Baker. The old little Scott City kid, $4.5 million he's going to get to not play the rest of the year. Or he could get picked up by another team and make a league minimum in addition to the 4.5, go overseas. I wish him the best of luck, and I hope he does well and finds a place. The Royals make 2 Rule 5 draft picks. Brad Keller and Birch Smith were the picks last year. They add Sam McWilliams and Chris Ellis, both pitchers, 2 big right-handed pitchers. Remember, Brad Keller was a great Rule 5 pickup for the Royals. Maybe one of these guys is going to turn into that. So the Royals being a little bit active. As we know, they picked up Billy Hamilton at free agency. It's a man center field. But there's now going to be a plethora of outfielders. So how the Royals sort that out will be interesting when we look at that down the line. Interesting nugget as we'll close the show with this. Last night, during the broadcast between the Chiefs and the Chargers, Joe Buck brought up the stat, and he's right about it. He goes, Patrick Mahomes would be the youngest, most valuable player in the National Football League since?
Oh, man, I can't remember what he said now.
Dan Marino. Now, think about that. You know, they have said Mahomes has been compared to Marino, that strong arm and everything else, a gunslinger. Then compare Marino because he's going to be the youngest MVP in the league since Marino. That's talking about Mahomes. Todd sent me this text, and he's so right, and I've thought about this. Everybody wants – if you're a Chiefs fan, you do not want Patrick Mahomes to be the next Dan Marino. Here's why. Dan Marino made it to one Super Bowl in his entire career. He was an unbelievable quarterback, best in the game probably, had all the stats, all the numbers like Mahomes does right now, had horrible defenses almost all the time. He didn't have a great running game. That's one thing that Mahomes did have until Hunt, you know, was released. So for 20 years, Marino dominated the league offensively and at the same time had no defense. Went to one Super Bowl his second year. Never made it back. You got to hope and pray, Chiefs fans, Patrick Mahomes does not end up being the next Dan Marino. Because if he is, that means you're going to go a whole Mahomes regime without a Super Bowl triumph and maybe one appearance. Speaking of that, we all get caught up in this, and I hear it over and over. Well, Mahomes, you got 10, 15 years of Patrick Mahomes, and they're going to win 2, 3, 4 Super Bowls with Mahomes. Well, not if you don't fix defense. But here's the thing. There is a window. And you have to take advantage of that window of opportunity. Matthew Derrick at ChiefsDigest.com was with us earlier this week on the Sports Ticket, and he made an interesting point about Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's just going crazy. 45 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, going to throw for 5,000 yards, going to be an MVP. This could be the peak of his career, and the Chiefs might blow it because of their defense.
It's possible that even though Patrick Mahomes might be and certainly will be better later in his career, we still might actually be seeing peak Mahomes in the sense that he may never be surrounded by this kind of talent again.
True.
You know, Tyreek Hill is really entering the prime of his career. I mean, with a speed guy like that, you know it's not going to last forever, but he's to a point right now where he's probably entering a 3 or 4 year stretch at least where he's going to be at the peak of his career. Travis Kelce's probably at that peak. I mean, he might start seeing the decline of Travis Kelce here pretty soon. So he might not be any better. Sammy Watkins is probably as good as he's going to be. And then when you've got the depth, I mean, you got a guy, you know, a veteran guy like Chris Conley, who's good grief, you know, you're maybe your fourth, fifth target. You had Kareem Hunt most of the season. You still have a decent backfield. But, you know, as far as just the passing targets in general, he may never have the collection of talent at its peak that he's got right now. And so that may mean that, you know, hey, 10 years from now, it may be harder for Mahomes, even if he's better. So we might be seeing the absolute, you know, best performance overall from this Chiefs offense that you might ever see. It's going to be a short window. I mean, I think it'll last for a couple of years, but this might be it.
So there you have it. Matthew Derrick saying, listen, this could be the year. This could be the window for the Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl, win a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes. We just take it for granted he's going to be here forever. And it looks like the Chiefs may ruin that opportunity based on what happened last night. But we shall see. Chiefs still lead the division, still control their own destiny, win the next two games. First round playoff game, get a bye. Then they would be at home in the divisional round, have home field throughout the AFC. That has worked out so swimmingly in the past. Why would it be so much better in the future? Well, guess we'll have to let it play out.